speaks about identifying sets with the points which represent them in the various possible concrete structures. I assume he means the points that represent the sets, not the points that represent the members. The points as presumably representing the individuals of Lewis type and the formation of the inner space of, in a three-dimensional space, the names of more or less inclusive collections. We think certainly of names as more or less inclusive collections of points, the all-inclusive collections of points of some... in some space, physical space of particular dimensionality, forming, as it were, a rank, rank, which consists of all sets of a given, possibly transfinite type. Well, it's an extraordinary notion. Compare what Mabry says about ranks. What appears to be a complete contrast with this claim, at the outset of the paper on what is mathematical truth on page 60, he remarks that mathematics, something answers to such mathematical notions as set and function. That something is tied up to the, tied up with the study of what structures are abstractly possible and what structures are not abstractly possible. So the notion of abstract possible structure, an abstract form, it seems to be reintroduced here. There is a systematic, there's an ambiguity in the notion of abstractly possible structures which are abstractly possible, which seems to be bound up with the notion of abstract form. That is to say that we might depart from, if the success of our ideas in practice, and particularly in practice of formulating true descriptions of the world, particularly the kind of conceptual breakdown, the kind of conceptual presupposition, for instance, which, that is to say that this conceptual presupposition concerning the possible form of an ontology for the world, which is, Frege, of course, does not regard as connected with possible form of an ontology for the world of the kind that is involves a claim which is corrigible, which is bound up with the corrigibility, for instance, of particular notions of order, most fundamental kinds of order, fundamental conceptions of kinds of order involved in a description. The very notion of entities as the world as a totality of entities, see Husserl. The very notion of the world as a totality of entities, given totality of entities as defined in the, actually, in a very small segment of the cumulative hierarchy, form of the totality of entities of which, but the form of which totality, qua totality, is what guarantees the existence. Existence of which totality, of course, underwrites and guarantees the existence of the other entities of other levels of the cumulative hierarchy. Putnam's view, since a set of objects depends for its existence on those objects, if they are destroyed, there is no longer such a set. When we're talking about a set of material objects, to say that a set exists tenselessly is just to say that in pure mathematics we can sometimes ignore the distinction between exists and between what exists now and what did exist, exists now, or will exist. This, of course, itself raises complicated problems because it seems that the indefinite extrapolability backwards and forwards of our notion of time as sort of an infinite linear medium, the properties of Euclidean space in terms of infinite linear medium, and arithmetic. Notions as a reflection of the Brouwerian view of the intersubjective intuition of the structure of this medium of structure of this of time. So we're being subject to reject, might be insofar that it might be one very crude way which might view mathematical knowledge as corrigible. Putnam remarks that the objects of pure mathematics are conditional upon material objects. So if we do not believe in the existence of plurality of material objects in the sense of if that we on the so we're ontological revision of a kind associated with perhaps luministic, thoroughgoing luministic ontology of the kind put forward by Perm. That the abstract possibility, the abstract possible structure of the objects of pure mathematics. Say sets and functions might reflect. Yes, the picture is of the objects of pure mathematics as conditional upon material objects, as merely abstract possibilities, and the relationship there between the notion of abstract form of a kind severely criticised in Mabry, but the course of the notion of abstract form as itself reflecting corrigibility in mathematical knowledge. Criticisms which Mabry makes of the sort of conception outlined in the first paragraph of Putnam's essay here. We're concerned is this the kind of corrigibility which the mathematical knowledge exhibits. Could the kind of corrigibility which it exhibits be connected with changing our conviction as to what structures are abstractly possible, the way that our former conception of what structures are abstractly possible reflected our conviction of the form of the principle of intelligibility of the ontology, the form of relation between the courses of values of variables ranging over domains of in the natural world, in some sense in the natural world, and the form of relationship between these as which has itself been which itself turned out to be corrigible and not absolute, and to rest upon a particular metaphysical conception of individuality and so a configuration of material objects which turns out to be radically defective. Compare Hooker on global and local structure. Compare the fact that our characterization of the plenum ontology still reflects the subject-object language being pressed into service in attempting to describe something which is essentially global. The distinction between global and local, the local structure is itself as a degree of autonomy relative to some more fundamental order of description which for which the plurality of entities, structureless with respect to conceptual resources of the theory in question, is only an approximation of valid in for purposes of the kind of interests that the kind of level of conceptual organization description of the world as reflecting this principle of intelligibility of ontology, which it's argued is itself subject to revision, itself perhaps subject to mental modification of the theoretical kind. They say the most fundamental notions of that is applied by our most fundamental mathematical theory, and in terms of which the foundation of and ultimately the organization of all areas of mathematical discourse currently affected, see maybe on functions and functional correspondence. But we have the notion of functional correspondence as part of our logic, and it can't be. We've argued that this absolutely cannot be altered, that the kind of derivation of linear from nonlinear structure, which is the kind of rather sort of extremely ambitious notion of a syntactic, sort of telesyntactic possibility, as yet unelaborated theory, in which the elements of the algebra reflected the vague metaphysical notion of the dependence for the definition of relationship of parts on the whole. See the remarks about nonlinear structure completely. Very, very woolly and quite emphatically not possessing the sort of metaphysical significance that is claimed for it by some writers on discussions of non-linear and linear. These notes are now made on the 29th of March, 1978, starting in the morning. The subject you're concerned with is how the postulated foundationless epistemology of total ignorance, which is regarded by Booker, see his article on the synthesis, as suitable for the epistemology of the underlying scientific method, or the correct epistemological expression of scientific realism. Certainly, that suggests that we are free to modify and affect the speculative proposal of new categorical frameworks and inferior relations explanations, where the elucidation of the reasons why the content of cover of reduced theory is not in fact realized makes reference to the adoption of new system of conceptual a new conceptual framework, the descriptive language should hear of preserving truth value, the Phrygian conception of sentences as bearers of truth values. Hence the framework of sentences of some theory. It's commensurable with the framework of sentences of some other theory purportedly describing the same domain, the sense of domains in the natural world. broadly treating the same subject matter. Compare mathematical theories, the Leibnizian, purely Leibnizian conception of identity in mathematics as discussed in Kerner, and compare Berme's remarks, but really it seems to me that Kerner's quite right. Compare. See the relationship between the speculative proposal categorical frameworks within physical sciences and the mathematical, the perspective of the correlation of the structures within the mathematical formalisms. It is this which is usually, in any advanced mathematically, sophisticated mathematically, highly evolved physical theory, which is principally in view today. And this is something which does not, because of the Leibnizian nature of identity of mathematical structures, cannot involve a sort of a speculative proposal of alternative categorical frameworks. See the principium individuationis of mathematical entities. Putnam's remarks about what is mathematically possible, the conception of set as lying deeper than that of function. Well, no, the notion of functional correspondence is lying deeper than any other notion in mathematics. Understanding this, we shall understand how, for instance, even the use of quasi-empirical methods, the correspondence postulate between the structure of the reals and that of physical space, if indeed we abandon this postulate in favour of some other postulate, the way the Doolin does, for instance, in the his papers on physical space and modifications to the foundations of the theory of real numbers. Certainly won't be because we have come to regard the axioms. Setting out the axioms, defining the real field as a structure, we come to regard as false, but the postulate of correspondence. In the same way, if the kinds of connection, connectivity, non-postulated in the paper, in Wheeler's remarks about the kind of connection between the points in pre-geometry as a very different kind from that envisaged in ordinary differential geometry. Particularly the idea of changing connectivity. You can already form the more intuitive picture of what is involved here. That is to say, a chaotic linear superposition of topologies, alternative topologies. Change over might actually provide us with a shortest time scale. 10 to the minus 43, shortest significant time scale. And I'm being pressed back and back, asking for an explanation. The fact that we must, there's some things we just can't ask for an explanation of, if the topology of the, we might just regard the topology of the global topology of space in the PCWD closed topology for time model as being that way, rather than that which we formerly thought, of it as being the topology of the real line. There's no way in which we can ask for an explanation as to why the topology, the global topologies of this kind, and certainly the notion of closed system, completely closed system, which is involved here, the idea that this demands for its description a new set of fundamental mathematical concepts, that the set of fundamental mathematical concepts at present employed in the physical description of the mathematics itself, as it were, reflects the conceptualization of subject matter. See, the idea, the argument that it does is a very old one and recurs again and again throughout the literature. C. Siegel's remarks. See in the remarks about the concern. Now, there is a kind of experience in mathematics, particularly heuristic. The heuristic element in the conception of the domain, or some function conception of the properties of some family, for instance, of functions, or some the structure of some system of quantities, or some mathematical formalism, vis-a-vis the properties of some other function or family of functions, or which suggests, indeed, that one kind of structure is always more fundamental than another, or that we can give an account of one particular, the kind of heuristic experience which suggests that we can give an account of one particular kind of structural family structures in terms of the properties of the one particular structure of family structures in terms of the known properties or properties which we may speculatively propose for some other broader, more general class of functions viewed as objects of study in this mathematical theory. That is to say, we're not at present concerned with the logical notion of function in complete generality. And the way in which the sort of speculative proposal is, as it were, utilizes interrelationships of proof and entailment. That is to say, a way in which we're actually led to recognize the structure of the relevant mathematical objects, or the possibility of mathematically, a particular kind of structure is mathematically possible, and as revealing in the light of the possibility of this kind of structure, that the properties of some particular mathematical formalism that you're under investigation for may usefully be viewed from the point of view of further generalization and application to in the formulation of theorems as a restricted instance of particular other kinds of formalism. Obviously, this kind of experience is extremely common in mathematics, and the relationship of spinors to twisters is one excellent example. But we have the residual tendency to think of both, because of the naturalness with which they are involved, can be applied to the description of particular kinds of quantities in formalisms of physical theories. So they have turned out to be extremely important, fundamental in the description of the world, and which couldn't possibly, so plausibly, have been guessed at. Whose importance in this connection could not plausibly have been guessed at the time that the mathematical possibility of the structure became apparent. To assign them some sort of significance, as well, extra mathematical significance. See particularly the question about the so-called curved space, was generalization of the definition of twister to allow the handling of curved space, as involving, for instance, the postulation of a kind of nonlinear sheaf theory, and those sheaves, insofar as they are used in the clarification of existing theory that quantifies the particular kind of linearity which they're taken to exhibit. One thinks in terms of, for instance, quantification, in terms of disjunction, in terms of the results of applying, as were an argument to what the function of some value for an argument is over in some domain. The idea of the, as it were, values of the function for these arguments, a set of values of functions for these arguments as possessing some sort of structure other than that of a collection in extension, then as something picked out, as it were, by the application of this sort of incomplete expression to the objects of the domain to see as well which of which of them it is true, of which of them it is false. There's a kind of linearity involved in certainly the notion of Cartesian product, and pullbacks in the category of sets are non-linear. I mean, the sheaves express, the use of sheaves is made possible because of the existence of the pullbacks and the infinite Euclidean space in which, we define the relationships of pullbacks. This is very vague and speculative. This probably balmy. Sure, I shall shoot it down. But you had this, as it turns out, completely misleading notion. The kind of experience that is involved in the light of which we, so for instance, think of some function as being globally defined as opposed to locally defined, the relationship between local and global structure within mathematics in the strictly technical sense, within mathematics having no bearing at all on the relationship between global and local properties of in some sense, global and local properties of space-time, of the domain in the natural world, in the light of which the, as it were, the morphic conception of identity of the objects in the domain, in which we sort of trace the identity conditions of the objects as objects, as plurality of entities, structures with respect to conceptual resources of the doctrine in question, is given to us in advance with the description of the domain in terms of global properties of a structure, the way in which the global properties of structure and evolution determine the kinds of structure which we encounter somewhere locally, and the idea that of us were giving a name to that which counts as active principle of unity, as involving active principle of unity for us, but what the active principle of unity actually operating in the light of the understanding of the morphic, from the point of view of morphic conception of identity, for instance, the idea of the whole, see Gray's remarks about curvature and monism as being involved here in definition of our experience of this part as an individual or concrete perceptible object. You're going to argue this is, you can't give a precise mathematical description of this, and attempts to do so lead rapidly into quicksand. See, it's nonsense. And reject all that, reject it decisively, but make quite clear what is the role of this kind of experience. Look particularly at the Twister theory and also at other papers in JMP and elsewhere. You can use elementary algebra of the kind outlined in Birkhoff and MacLean's book and in Gerdemont's book in the formulation of metaphysical theses. See Bunger. And the reservation that we have here, for instance, particularly as regards the Burbs thesis about the unfolded structure. And the question about existential quantification. See Smart's paper on Quine and the sort of tenselessness involved, for instance, the fact that we have to take the points of space time as individuals. Compare the Some grazers worry about global and local properties, but we can deal with those perfectly well within that. This is why we must deal as it were at the level of the method relationships between the structure of the mathematical formalism, out of which, as it were, our ontology is for the interpretation of the theory in the light of this is the kind of modifications that we must make to existing conceptual structure of existing descriptive language will be suggested. But first of all, let us, as well, employ a purely mathematical viewpoint in investigating the relations between the structures in the mathematical formalism of the theory, rather than introducing conceptual questions which turn on the most fundamental relation between the kind of structure encountered in our investigation of the mathematics' most fundamental level of on which the relations between different kinds of mathematical structure are defined, and the most fundamental putatively fundamental theoretical physical desiderata as connected directly. For instance, the idea of a point set as a most fundamental notion mathematically, and as connected with, for instance, the events of space-time manifold, as connected with this. See what is said about events in Misenathorn and Wheeler. But, of course, there's the atomic connotation of events here, definition of events as involving the observer. See how, in fact, events are defined, and the as an absolute order, defining at any rate a sort of local coordinate frame, to which we subsequently give them a more sophisticated mathematical expression in terms of sort of differential forms and so on. But they as rely for their applicability on the original identification of the events with the structure of events with the structure of the point set. Compare the monistic views put forward by Boehm, some of the remarks in Graves. The notes following were made very late in the evening of the 29th of March 1978, a completely separate set of notes. There are various points that you wanted to raise here. One was the point made in the Twister newsletter number 3 from December 1976. One point to make about a finite covering for projective twister space being obtained by allowing ourselves to use clear sets for the Schiefke homology. Identification of elements of the H1, that's the Schiefke homology group with analytic Masters wave functions. Anyway, various points about the apparent the significance of sheaves in the theory of quantifiers, as particularly the putative role of a nonlinear sheaf theory as indicating a connection between the way in which we can express the relationship between local and global structure of some complex mathematical system of quantities or object. See, you're sure about this. You obviously haven't got your ideas clear enough about it. It seems to me you're probably making a bad mistake. On page 18 of the Twister newsletter number 3 for December 1976, the remark that one of the most intriguing ideas of Twister theory is that it should eventually be possible to see how to incorporate the quantum states of elementary particles intrinsically into the geometry of Twister space. So we're thinking, as it were, of the geometry of Twister space as like a particularly... We're having to think informally in terms of... informal considerations is what guiding us thinking in the context of extremely complex and technical mathematical theory in terms of a structure of a new mathematically possible structure, a curved twister space, which carries built directly into its structure the information, so all the information about the original quantum states and the relationship between the quantum states, and how you'd use that to deal with interactions. One doesn't know, but the idea is that one could use that to define the interaction and possibly the global structure of the curved twister space, allowing one to define, as I say, interactions in a way which suggests the relationship between global, how to represent the restrictions which is what global structure places on the local relations in the sense of the putative conceptual structure of the descriptive language, as this deals with global relationship of global to local structure in the ontological sense. There's an enormous gulf involved here. One of the most intriguing ideas of twister theory is that it should eventually be possible to see how to incorporate the quantum states of elementary particles intrinsically into the geometry of twister space. Roughly speaking, the idea runs as follows. Initially, a quantum state is to be thought of as represented in terms of certain classes of holomorphic functions defined on some background twister geometry. Define exactly what a holomorphic function is. But then these functions are reinterpreted in such a way that they appear in an active guise, incorporating to the structure of a set of holomorphic coordinate transition functions, get clear about that, which are used to define the complex analytic structure of a new curved twister space. Interesting how the complex analytic structure of the new curved twister space is required, is defined by the complex analytic structure of the new curved twister space, defined by the structure of the set of holomorphic coordinate transition functions. So we'll have to get clear about what they are, whose structure is itself. It incorporates the holomorphic functions, reinterpreted holomorphic functions, which themselves were originally thought of as certain classes of which were originally thought of as representing carrying the information about quantum states in our old conception of quantum states, which, as it were, are now to be thought of as intrinsically incorporated into the geometry of twister space itself. The point is that the new twister space now carries, built directly into its structure, the information about the original quantum states. Deforming of the twister space, that is, should depend only on the sheaf cohomology class of the twister function that represents the state of the particle, so that the states of the particle, the relationships between the states of the particles and the possible basis for the treatment of interactions, and interactions as expressing the relationship of global to local structure. Particle states are in effect interpreted as being elements of twister sheaf cohomology groups. And these in turn induce finite deformations of twister space itself. How exactly a group induces a deformation of a space, I'm not quite clear about how to understand all about sheaves. There's a remark that is made on page 20 of the Twister Newsletter number 3. The effect that the algebra involved in the proofs of several of the propositions of the paper is, for all practical purposes, the same as that involved in the flat space construction for the right-handed photon, but it is just modified a little for the accommodation of the more general structure of the background space. So we have an algebra which has been modified for the accommodation of the more general structure of the background space. They kind of... Right, the point here is the business about the algebra having been modified a little for the accommodation of the more general structure of the background space. It's a perfect example of the kind of modification, perhaps much generalization in the context of finding a equivalent representation or equivalent formulation of some structure which allows modification in order to accommodate more general structure of, in this case, the background space, in connection of which with the original structure, or the we want to see the structure in the original construction as instance, restricted instance of the more general kind of structure in the construction which it takes account of the kind of structure with which the is to be found in mathematical formalism of the theory which allows us to account for, treat, for instance, more from a physical point of view, more general kinds of structures of interest from the point of view of the physics involved. In this context, the fact the familiarity of such a context suggests a kind of generalization of modification of the algebras in order to accommodate, for instance, more general structure of the background space. The kind of motivation that operates, the heuristic motivation in allowing generalizations of this kind, can be allowed to do so quite comfortably using the properties of mathematical structures which are already familiar, which, as it were, express or accommodate perhaps a more general structure of some kind in the in a specific mathematical sense, more general structure, which is nonetheless linked to the possibility of allowing, as it were, an interpretation which is regarded as more fundamental, in with respect to which the kinds of the structure of the system of quantities of the Coven theory can be viewed as a limiting case. However, you can't, as it were, try to extend this sort of generalization and speculative modification to the very notion of function itself in complete generality. The correct logical notion of function is viewed as it were, in the context of words of mathematics without foundations, a holistic conception of mathematics. And there's an error involved there. See the Twisted newsletter number 3 and go into more detail on this. Unrelated, but looking back at Strauss, Modern Physics and Philosophy, number page 64, it makes no sense to ask whether the axioms of mathematical theories which are calculi subject to the condition of internal consistency only are true or agreeable with reality or evidence. Such questions are meaningful only for physically or otherwise interpreted calculi. We view the argument there is that Putnam's error in talking about Boolean axioms as false of states of affairs. The supposition is there that we have a qualitative conception of the subject matter of logic. No sense at all to talk about the axioms being false in the case of Hilbertian mathematical axiomatics. The advance of the mathematics beyond apparent requirements, beyond the heuristics, which agree with or reflect any interpretation of the calculi I had in mind, any interpretation I had in mind. Completely independent mathematical viewpoint. The Berms' attitude seems to be rather to drag us back from that towards and to find somewhere directly. Reflected in the syntax of the calculi itself, a sort of structural transposition of the metaphysics, metaphysical ontology, the theoretical worldview, the structure of the conceptual categories in terms of which the world is grasped. And that these find expression at the most general level of systematic metaphysics, which is argued as itself reflected on the mathematical formalism of the theory. This is Rejecting conception. See his remarks on global theories. This is a conception which you completely reject in the light of the, what you just said about formal calculi. But compare what Putnam has to say. I look at the philosophy paper about Montague by Hark. Have a look at the Duong, Wang, Persim. There are a whole lot of things you want to say. More details on Strauss. More details, of course, on the Twister newsletter. You must understand the constructions involved and all the mathematics underlying the constructions, but the important thing is that you're clear as to the sort of perspective for the correlation of structure of the mathematical formalism as it goes on in the elaboration of the correlation of the structure of the mathematical formalisms of different physical theories as not connected with the interpretation had in mind of the physical theories themselves. Rather this in its turn, as you see the two contrasting approaches mentioned in 1930. Look in detail at the way that some metalinguistic formulation